Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Just trying to see if we're expecting anyone else to join. I haven't heard from Jakob, but I think Ian will be here. We're a lively bunch this morning, huh?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually having a great morning. Oh,
Nice.
good.
I forgot to take my trash out last night, and they actually said that they were gonna actually come by today, so I was out there like in my flip flops in the 6 degree weather pulling the trash cans out across the ice, so that was fun.
Oh my God.
Yikes.
Yeah, ours was canceled this week. So
I'll be a little
hopefully
bit
we.
surprised if they make it. They said they were gonna, but they haven't really. I mean, so like they've sort of plowed our roads, but it's been such a like an it's such a thick crust of ice, the plows can't do much. So the cars can drive on it, but it's still just like ice. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually manage to get a garbage truck through all that. And I'm a little worried about what happens when they try to go down some of the downhill cul-de-sacs, but yeah, just find out.
Those poor guys. That's like some brutal temperatures to be working outside in.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get started. As usual, it's Thursday, so we will start with David and Tara on any ZFL support issues. And somebody put a chat in, and it's
I
checking.
did. It's my notes. But I can talk about these. So the first thing in that list is the German libraries are going to upgrade straight to Sunflower, except for one, which is going to Ramsons. And so we need four additional Sunflower Onocopy tenants for a total of 12. So that's Quesnelia through Sunflower. They need to be able to test this, they say, by March, which is annoyingly soon. So I was just gonna create tickets, I guess, like I did for Ramson's. Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then when I was talking with Wayne, I had some questions about like what exactly happens when they're done with Quesnelia. So, like, do we just get rid of the four Quesnelia tenants and then when we get to Trillium, create four more? Is that what you would do, David?
Well, there's no need for them anymore. Yeah, we could get rid of them.
Okay. All right. So it's like we just erase them from existence. We don't upgrade anything, we just add more.
Well, we could, yeah. So what we would do for an environment like Sunflower is that instead of just creating the environment straight on Sunflower, I could create them on Ramsons and then upgrade to Sunflower just to simulate the upgrade process, right? And yeah, so doing that, there would be no need to keep other environments that we no longer use or we no longer support for any customer.
Okay. And it sounds like there would be value to us to having the experience upgrading an environment, because when they get to this, they will surely have issues. But I have one really dumb question, which is, what will the numbers be for these environments? Because there was some concern about them not going in numerical order. And if we get rid of 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we add trillium, what numbers will trillium be? Can we just keep going up? Does it matter to anyone?
I don't have a problem with it just going up, to be honest.
Okay, does
I don't think
anyone?
we'll run
'Cause
out of numbers.
okay,
Yeah,
I don't
we
think we will either, but the last time we tried this, people were super concerned about them not going in numerical order. So as long as everyone's okay with them just going up, that's
Yeah.
great. Awesome. Okay. So I will submit tickets for that. The next thing, I think this is a question maybe for Jason or David. On ILL Dev 126, there's the last stupid, annoying little problem with the singular plural, right? And so that's definitely the translation thing that needs to be fixed. However, there's also this issue where a section of settings isn't visible, or it causes an error in SLNP 1 and 2. And I don't know if that's related to this or not. We noticed it because it's causing us to not be able to see that section where they had asked for translations, but I don't know if that's stopping this from being able to be deployed.
But we're definitely not giving them those translations in that section unless
Right. Yeah, so
extraordinary things happen.
I
But
understood that.
I don't know what's wrong with SLNP1 that's causing that. I haven't looked into it at all. There's nothing wrong with settings in the code base to my knowledge. So I hope it's somehow a deployment thing, but I really don't
Okay, so that
know.
part it sounds like is for David to check on.
Well, someone would have to check on it.
Someone.
I could maybe look at it and try to s have some information about it, but I haven't yet, and I'm not sure that's what I should do, but I will if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I tried taking a look at it, but I couldn't figure out much from the error that it threw. And that's why I think I just pasted it on the ticket in case anyone had an idea on what was going on or what is going on right now.
Maybe I should look at it then.
Yeah.
What because the errors are usually really bad, the ones that fly up on the screen. I probably should do something about that someday, but we're not today. What you usually wind up needing to do is I find the network tab is much more interesting, like in the browser tools. That if
Okay.
you pull that up and you click on network and then you load the thing. If one of the requests it's making to one of the backends has an error, you can actually see which request that is. And the backend often will send a helpful message that isn't necessarily getting surfaced anywhere by the UI right now. And that may be informative. So that's what I would look at first.
No, okay, I'll take a look at developer tools as well. Yeah.
And then also in the browser console. There may
Yeah.
be some more information as well. So
Okay.
that'd be my first stop. But yeah, if you wouldn't mind checking this areas. But then if you don't find anything there, I won't necessarily be able to do too much more because after that, it would be maybe looking at the log files of whatever service caused the error. And at that point, that would I need to talk to you anyways, David. So.
Okay.
So yeah, yes, see what you find.
Okay, so David's gonna take a look at DevTools in the console log and maybe other logs. We know what the error is that's displaying in the browser. I tried it just now and I don't see any like bright red warning sign in DevTools for what that's worth, but I'm sure David will do a better job looking than I just did. But to my original question, until we know that this isn't caused by the work on translations, like what are the chances?
Well, it
Like,
wouldn't just be the work on translations. We're not, I don't think we would be releasing these things separately. Like those are, it would be all the changes that are on the 1.13 release branch. In between the
okay.
last release we cut and the next release we cut, would it kind of all go together as a unit?
Okay, so something's wrong. Don't deploy anything. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that we couldn't release just the translation changes. We'd be releasing all the changes on that branch.
Okay, all right. I think I understand. So we have to fix this. Awesome. That's great. Okay, and then the last question I had was on ILL Dev 191. Oops.
Sorry, Tara, but before we move on, should we create a separate ticket for looking into the error that you're seeing, or is that presumed to be directly related to this 126?
We don't know. I can create a separate ticket for it. It's on that ticket, but
Okay. As long as it's, I think that's fine. I just wanted to make sure, or if this was still in work or in development. Does this need to be assigned back to David then?
yes. If Jason already did the other thing, yeah.
Oh, is that right? Jason, did you already do the other thing?
Yes, and David informs me it's deployed.
Sweet.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Maybe, I guess, Mallory, maybe you could leave a, I'm sorry, guys, maybe you could leave a short comment about what's left because this ticket has been changing hands so many times that it's not clear what's the acceptance criteria. We kind of want to be clear, like, what's needed to close the ticket, right? Maybe just put a comment like what David is supposed to do.
I mean, we could also close it if the translation is fine and create a new ticket for overall QA of the next release we're going to put out, because that seems to be what this is about. It's like, okay, we need to, now that we've solved these individual issues, need to make sure that SLNP1 looks like everything is working, and so that we're pretty confident in what we're going to release off that branch.
Well,
And
is the
so I could see
failure
it being part of the
related? Is the failure that Tara reported, is that related to the work done within the scope of this ticket?
It seems extremely unlikely because it's the error is encountered in the area that I did not touch for this ticket. Like I didn't change the settings thing. But things can happen for surprising reasons, but I don't
Sure.
think so. It's just as easily one of the other tickets that is on that branch, or completely unrelated and something about the way SLNP1 is deployed.
Okay, but that failure that now that we encounter now, that prevents reviewing this ticket.
No, it does not. We did not actually translate the work in that section. We only noticed the problem because they had originally listed that area to be translated. So while we were going the system, incidentally, we noticed it while we were looking at this ticket. So I think it's fine to
Okay.
make another ticket if that's helpful. It sounds
I think
like
so. I
it's
mean, yeah, I
unlikely.
mean, because you're the reviewer, so I would say if the specific issue within this ticket is now fixed and you can, and you're able to review it, like you're not being blocked from reviewing that, then close this one and treat the ticket for the issue that should be fixed. I think that's better because we at least have some clarity on progress.
Sweet. I can do that.
Tara, does this still need to be reviewed or can this actually just be marked done? Sorry, I haven't followed closely enough.
I guess I didn't visually confirm that the right one is in there now. So if you could assign it to me, I'll just do that real quick.
Okay.
It's literally two words that need to be confirmed. It shouldn't take long.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Can we move on to the last one? Okay. So for this one, this is hanging out. It's in review, and I think I've tested it as far as I'm able with the data that's in any of our systems. So I'm just not sure if this is ready to go out to the customer or not. We can't mimic their exact scenario. They have so many entries, and ours are all entry 1, 2, 3.
I then that's about as good as we can get, I guess.
That's what I think.
We don't have their data, right? Like, we're not hosting it for them, so we couldn't make like a copy of their directory to try with the realistic data, but it might even be faster on theirs because they, in production, they might have more resources assigned to it. So,
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to deploy it to a test system before they ever deploy it to production. So it seems like we need their feedback, and the only way to get that is to give them the ability to put it in their test system. So if
right.
everyone's okay with that, maybe we should just go ahead and do that.
And I can mark this done.
But guys, before we do this, I'm sorry, I just need to know. So the original issue here was that there was no paging.
It wasn't that
And
there's no
that's.
paging. It was that it fetched the entire contents of the drop-down filter in one request.
Well, then why did it
And
say that it was only displaying 100 records?
because that one request was set to 100. And so we changed it to go to 1000, which is the max that any of these services can give at once. And I thought that's I understood that to be the issue. It didn't occur to me that they would have more than 1000, but it turns out they have far more than 1000. And so it needed to be changed entirely to move from being one request to populate the thing to sort of autocomplete, or like not like it's a search as you type. And so it now searches the back end as you type.
So you fixed it so that you can now search and filter. Or did you just increase
Yes.
the limit?
No, I initially just increased the limit and then got the feedback that, oh, actually we have more than 1,000. Oh, okay, well, there's no facility in UID and mod directory to have it offer more than 1,000 in one request. And so it now will be searching and filtering via the server web service.
On the back end.
Yeah, on the back end.
Okay, good. So that's been done. And now, have you been able to confirm this, Tara? Like, have you been able to test it actually on the environment?
I can test it in our environments. We have more than 100 entries, but the entries are all like you can see it on the screen. It's entry 16, entry 150. They're just numbered, they go up. And so, first, we don't have as many entries as they do. They have thousands and thousands of entries. And then, second, we don't have realistic names in there. And I mean, like, I guess we could make up some pretend libraries, but like 5,000 of them. So as far as we're able in our
Cool.
systems, we've tested it.
There's Berlin and Munich. You can at least search on Ber and Mu.
Yeah,
So
I
that
did those.
works.
Yeah.
It's certain.
I created those entries. I mean, is what what's the problem with having just fake names? Like entry 1, 2, 3.
I'm just saying that like it's not a I'm not searching their real data, so it's
Oh,
been
okay.
tested in our data.
Sure.
It's just not like, a gazillion random umlauts in their German system.
Oh, okay. Well, but hold on, because now I get that this is not real data, right? But it's sufficient to exercise the mechanism which Jason has implemented, or is it not?
I think so. I was just pointing out that there could be surprises in their system because I'm not actually testing with their data, right?
Got it.
And
No,
so I don't
that
know
makes sense.
if, okay. Cool.
But I think we're trying to kind of answer the question, whether this ticket should be closed or not, right? And I think if you manage to exercise the mechanism using the dummy data, we should close it. Obviously, you are not able to verify on the real system until it gets deployed on the real system. So I think that is I mean, that's the acceptable risk, right? I mean, we won't be able to test with their data, which is changing, by the way. But we did test on our system. We have sufficient artificial data to verify the mechanism, from what I'm hearing. So I think we should close it, and then if they, what we don't want to do is release code to them that's been untested. But that's not going to be the case here, is what I'm hearing. So I think it's fine.
Awesome.
David, I any questions from you on the ZFL front? He's still here. Sorry, I just
Not really.
realized that my
Not really.
Hey, David.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, and I said no questions.
Okay, anyone have questions for Tara or David before they leave, should they want to?
Not
Okay.
particularly. See you guys.
Bye. All right. Oops, sorry. I got a new mouse and I cannot control it apparently. All right, Ian, where did you go? Okay. How are things going?
Going all right. I wanted to ask about ILDEV 262, which I believe is kind of a blocker for this ReSHA-2 development. I guess maybe can I share my screen?
Yeah, let me stop. And if you don't have permission, I can grant it, I'm sure.
No, it looks like I got it, but hold
Okay.
on. Where's my, what do I want to share here? I just wanted to review with Jakob. If you've, you know what you need here. So I set up a Folio system. I set up the inventory and circulation apps. I took away like the ERM and finance apps because it didn't seem like we need to run them. Is that fair, Jakob, or do you need that stuff?
That is fair. No, we just need the inventory.
Okay, so I've got inventory, circulation, and then whatever came with it. And then
Yeah.
you need a Edge NSIP to test with.
Yes.
Okay, do you need OAI?
No.
Okay, cool. All right, then I think this will work. So I've got one tenant. This is just local, so I'll make it into three and push webpacks. The data in here is just, you know, the sample data. So that should be enough to do some circulation.
Yeah.
Okay.
There,
Great.
I mean, the
Okay, then
sample
I'll.
data has some instances and some I holdings and items, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, it's just the stuff that's in Snapshot, and I believe there, you know, you can circulate stuff in Snapshot.
Yeah. This plan looks good. I just think I was thinking a little bit about how we can get it to the point where the developers can help. And it's not taking us months of back and forth. And I think it's easiest, Ian, if you
For
try
what? For hold
to.
on, for what though? What's taking us months?
Well, so once you deploy it, which,
Yeah.
you know, which is great, the missing piece is getting the Folio and the new ReSHA, the ReSHA second generation pieces talk to each other.
Okay.
And that will be done through that directory config, right? So I did put on the ticket that we will need that directory configuration.
Directory, yeah. So I mean, I
Yeah.
think you know, as terms of development friction, I mean the Folio system itself will be static, right? I just deployed Ramsons and that'll all stick,
That's
but
right.
you guys will, anytime you commit to the broker mock directory, whatever, we can get that updated on here automatically like we do for ReShare 2. So
Yeah.
I'm
So
just trying to make
what
sure, like you know,
I'm.
some blocker here about that, or that seems like a good approach to me, but
I think what you're doing makes a lot of sense. I'm just thinking ahead. And the next step, once you have all the components deployed, we need to provide the directory configuration. The directory configuration will need to include the ANSIP configuration for Edge ANSIP, right? So those two will need to go together. because I guess you will need to generate some API key for the agentSEP,
Yeah,
right?
that's right.
And yeah, and then we need to put that API key in the agentSEP URL.
Yep.
So why don't you try to do it if you are getting lost about, hey, how do I specify those agentSEP settings in directory? Because I think I did update
Yeah,
that
I might
ticket
get lost
enough.
there. You said add in the ticket, you said just deploy Folio with, yeah, it's fairly minimal. And you said add make some fake directory entry or make some directory entries for them.
But try to pull up that ticket because I think I updated it and I linked a didn't I link a directory config, or maybe I just dreamed it. No, okay.
Let's just put, maybe I just loaded this up yesterday. Let's see.
Okay,
It
so
says install this
let's
stuff, create, this is what I've got here, create corresponding directory entries for three institutions and load them into the mock. So if there's an example, that's great. Otherwise, I'm just going to bother you when I'm creating the entries if I don't understand, because I'm not sure if I know where to put that config in.
Well, the only example is something where you would have to dig through the unit tests in the code. I don't want you to do that. So what I'm gonna
Okay.
put there, Ian, I'm just gonna do it now, and now we can refresh. So suddenly I have no access. Where is Ian? Okay, so I updated it. If you could refresh, Mallory. So this is the link to the directory schema. So hopefully that is sufficient for you to do. And if not, then you just ask, and we'll try to make some time for you and Adam to spend on this together. You know, like
So this is the.
I just don't want a back and forth between two different time zones, which is gonna take another week. Then we'll need to come up with some time when you and Adam can sit together, because Adam has been extending this directory schema with unzip settings as he goes on adding code. So it's so far it's been a moving target. It should be fairly stable now.
Is there, so this example doesn't include an NSIP setting, but it is.
Hold on, did I send a link to the example? No.
No, you sent a link to this guy. So.
So this is the LMS config setting, right?
Yeah.
Go up a little bit. The whole section is called LMS config.
Yep, I see it.
Yeah, so this is the new section that's been added, and this is the
Yep.
section to specify ANSIP configuration.
Yep. Okay.
And
Yeah,
then
I
for
think I
Folio, you
understand
can,
that.
yeah, so you can just enable all the Boolean flags, then it will use ANSIP for everything pretty much. And we will need to provide some specific configuration, like for, if you scroll down a little bit, you know, like the request item request type. The default is page, which is good, right? Then request item, request scope type. The default one is item. I think we can keep it, and so forth. Requester pickup location. That's like the pickup location codes. So that's where we kind of need to make sure that this is aligned with the Folio config. So like, you know, in Folio, in that sample data, we have some locations, I assume, like main library and another crop. And do we have some service points as well?
So we've
Okay.
got, circ one, circ two.
Yeah.
We've got, I guess it's this, and whatever
Good,
locations
good.
and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that sample data looks sufficient to me. So we just need to kind of take those codes and put them in that ANSIP configuration.
Okay, so this
Yeah.
NSIP or this directory configuration is just a JSON file that I'm going to post to the new directory app, right?
That's right.
And then, how does that connect to the mock? The mock points at the directory app, and so it,
No, you're not gonna post it with the directory app. You're just going to install it in the mock like you do for Trove. It's just
Okay,
gonna be a
all right.
static file.
Okay.
I mean, this directory app doesn't even is not even
Won't do it.
functional yet, right? Yeah.
As far as I know, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking if Adam needs to make changes without waiting for me, yeah, I'll think
I
about
think
that.
I don't
He
think he will
should
be
be able to do
making
it.
changes. I don't think he will be making changes now. So I think as long as you add those static files in the GitOps
Yeah.
repo, and
You guys can.
and we choose the settings that work, because they just need to be aligned with whatever are the codes in that sample data. So once we get to the point that when it works, then I think we can have him modify it as he adds new settings or as we change the settings, because then that this baseline will be pretty much okay, right? I think we just need to, before we close the sticker, we need to get to the baseline which works. And I think it's probably easiest if you do this, like the initial one, and then we get you on a call with Adam, because like you will have hard time verifying this yourself, right? I mean, you need to, yeah. So that's where the disconnect might be, right? I mean, just that one person is doing that, the other person knows how to verify, but doesn't really know how to change when things break, and then we're gonna have this back and forth. So that's why I'm saying that it might be a better idea for you just to do the initial one, and then let's maybe, I don't know, tomorrow or Monday, let's plan. Adam can do it. And we have this Postman collection that can be executed against the system. But then you'll have to install Postman. I don't know. Maybe you're up for it. But I mean, going
I mean, I can
forward, I think
install
it makes.
Postman, is it? Yeah, it's no big deal,
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean,
But
I
then if
guess
it breaks,
I.
then you wouldn't really know probably what broke anyway, right? So maybe it makes sense for you guys to just sit together and try to, because the end result is that we just need to be able to see that those two systems talk to each other, right? That we have the configuration that is good enough here and now. And there might be issues like that you cannot resolve through configuration alone. There might be issues where he actually messed things up, because as far as I know, none of this has been actually tested against Folio yet. It's been tested against ANSYS mock. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are trouble with this.
Well, it seems like okay. I'll make those initial entries and try to meet with Adam, but you would know how to update the mock config map if that's needed, right? Like if it's, a
Yeah,
time
for
that I'm
sure.
not online.
Once
Yeah,
we
okay.
have
All
all
right,
the
cool.
yeah, once we have all the files in place and you just put the initial versions, we can modify the JSON and update it, no problem. But we just need to know, what are the location codes, right? I mean, and stuff like that from that sample data, because none of us know actually what is that. And also the ANSIP settings, when you issue the API key, right? I think this API key goes into the URL. So similar setup, very similar setup to the one for ZFL, in a way. And then we can test it, and then probably we'll find some issues where things don't work, but the guys can fix them. It will redeploy, so I think then they will already be in the cycle when they can just fix things and get to the point where it actually works.
There's no NSIP settings app, right?
So just Ian, just ping me when you have it ready. Like when you think you have some initial setup ready, just ping me and we'll get on a call together and bring
So I'll,
Adam in.
today I'll finish deploying these tenants. I'll add the new reshare stuff to them, and then maybe tomorrow we can meet to figure out the directory entries.
Yeah,
Okay. Cool.
that
Yeah,
makes
because right
sense.
now
That makes
I
sense.
spent yesterday just getting a platform that will work here with Ramsons and minimal stuff and getting that deployed. So that's good. And then
Yeah.
yeah, I'll finish that work today, and we can talk about how to get this thing to actually work tomorrow.
Perfect.
Great. I'll stop sharing and give it back to Mallory. I don't have anything else. There's another ticket for me about 500 errors. Maybe we should look at that, I guess. Okay. Oh, and this is the
Wait.
one where we need a new release, right?
Yeah, and I haven't created the I need to create a ticket for that still. So that's I think this is kind of maybe we should I
Just
don't
put
want
it.
to stop. Yeah.
You put it in the next sprint if you want. It doesn't matter to me when we do this. It sounds like we
Oh,
can do a
yeah.
new release and then schedule with them a time to deploy it. Just let me know when that is, when they're happy to do that, I guess.
I'm just sending myself a note. Thank you.
That's all I've got.
Yeah. The only thing I have for you is that Trove, I submitted a bug ticket this morning. They reported that they're having problems with the password reset emails again. And I was able
Oh.
to reproduce it. So
Huh, okay.
you'll see it. It's not they only listed it as a medium priority, so if you don't have time to look at it today, I think it's probably okay.
No,
I can always,
that's fine. I'm just
yeah.
curious why it would stop working. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, we haven't changed anything that I know of. So, and I guess, Jakob, does it make sense to talk about scheduling a meeting about like upgrading the existing reshare customers and all of the like kind of like implementation and testing stuff that we'll have to do. You when we talked yesterday, you thought maybe we could dedicate one of the meetings to talking
Yeah.
about what we need to do there.
Yeah, maybe we could just try to do it on Tuesday next week. Are we gonna have enough time?
I'm just looking to see if everyone's here on Tuesday.
We
I
decided to
think.
upgrade the existing ones to 119.
Well, we need to talk a little bit about what we're gonna do with those existing customers.
Yeah, it looks like everyone's here. Seb may or may not be around, given his family situation, but I don't know if that's critical. And we can probably come up with a plan and run it by him afterwards if he has any like thoughts. But anyway, go ahead, Jakob.
Yeah. No. I'm with you. I don't think Seb is essential at this point. Actually, we can touch base with her on Tuesday. Wednesday, I'm sorry. So I think that's fine. I guess, guys, is there anything we should prepare for this conversation, for this to be effective? Maybe and I'm thinking primarily about you. I don't know, like a list of tenants and some idea about what they're running.
I mean, a list of consortia and what they're running, I guess. I mean, most of our, what I'm now considering sort of legacy customers here are like, IPLC, PALSY, TRLN, Flow, stuff like that. They're all running Reshare 117. And then we've got the Germans who are their own special situation. And then we have Trove, which is running, master essentially, the latest stuff. So I guess what I'm wondering, as the legacy ones start to age, like we're already having problems with the age of their Folio system and stuff like that, updating Postgres and all that, like how are we gonna simplify here and get everyone either onto a similar version, or are we targeting the next? I'm just trying to wondering what the plan is, I guess that's all. Because I feel like there is a need to consolidate here. Like we can't be running this many different things for different people. It's too much work. So, is it feasible that we put them all on the latest reshare, or is it, or are we targeting reshare too? I guess that's what I want to know.
Yeah, well that's what we're gonna discuss, right? So I'm just thinking to make that decision, maybe put together that list with some like a table, of those tenants, what version of Richard they're running, what version of Ramsons, Postgres, and maybe some indication what is critical for us to upgrade.
Yeah.
And maybe that's
I
our
mean,
starting point,
well, right
because
now, I've got to upgrade to Postgres 16, which isn't tested with the older Q versions of Folio that they're running, but or the pre-Q. Anyway, I'm going to do it anyway because it won't break our systems. So that's where we're at. But it's sort of like, doesn't feel great.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But let's just kind of be clear what we're trying to do, right? Because what I would say, like my thinking, and you guys might disagree with this, and I think if there's a good reason to disagree, that's great, and especially you, Ian. But my thinking is, unless we really, really have to upgrade because of some security issues or some compatibility issues like older Postgres, we are waiting for the second generation, and then we do a migration. So
Yeah,
that would be
I'm
my.
open to that. I just was kind of, I that's what Tuesday's meeting about, but I just felt like I was maybe a bit in the dark about like what are the
But maybe there's
plans?
some interim things we can do, right? So I just don't want to like blindly say, "Hey, we just wait." When there's some easy things that will make your life easier, especially with that Postgres thing. I mean, even if it means putting a little bit of development time in it, but it's like an easy job, I think we should do it. Just to kind of, yeah. I mean, we don't want to be in a situation where we're hosting people on some, outdated software, some security issues and so forth. So I think for that minimal maintenance, I think we need to be prepared to do it. But that doesn't necessarily mean migrating them to the new version of to the next version of Reshare because that might be a bit more complicated or not. I mean, would like to hear also from Adam and Kurt what it means if they know. But my assumption was that this is going to be a lot of hassle for zero functional benefit for the customers because like nothing in the 119 is relevant for the people running 117 because and that thing I think we talked about it here at some point. I feel like Jason made a document or something. Anyway, the reason for why I think that is because we have this broker modes that we developed for Trove. So like all new functionality is kind of that they could benefit from is kind of hidden behind this no ROTA setting. And we cannot just do it, right? I mean, it's not about upgrading Reshare, it's also about installing brokers suddenly, changing directory and all and it's like a avalanche effect. So a
I
lot
think
of
they could
work.
get like some small things, like they would benefit from like the cost stuff or whatever, and then whatever miscellaneous bug fixes we didn't backport, we ended up backporting most of those. So it's pretty minimal.
Yeah. So that could be the way, right? I mean, if we decide, okay, there is sense in porting them to Reshare 119, but using all the default setting for the ROTA. And they could take they get, for example, I don't know, it supports new folio, right? So maybe that's already a benefit and we just do it.
But yeah, it's primarily for our benefit more than theirs. It makes it easier for us to administer. And then so they probably wouldn't want to take the risk unless they actually get something out of it. But maybe what they get is more up-to-date, less questionable software on the back end. That might be worth it to them.
Yeah,
But
but that's
yeah,
also a
we should
question
probably
for
avoid
you.
it.
Yeah, that's a question for you, Ian. Like whether you would want to spend time with all those upgrades,
But it's not just
knowing
the
that
upgrade
they.
time, it's also the QA time because we didn't fully QA either 118 or 119 against that sort of baseline workflow. Because 118 was just QA'd against ZFL workflow and 119 was just QA'd against Trove workflow. So there'll be a whole QA process and then we'll probably find something to fix that, which is why we decided not to do it in the first place, even though it
I mean, because
makes life a lot harder.
we don't have a vanilla development environment for 119. It doesn't exist, right, Ian? I mean, because I know that
East
there is one
West.
for
Isn't
Trove,
that East West?
but
It
is
is.
that the latest? Is that the
Yeah,
119?
that always runs latest, yeah. So anyway,
Okay.
this is we're getting into Tuesday's conversation here, I think, a bit,
Yes,
but
we just
we
started
are.
having it. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so hi guys, let's try to make it effective. So like if you could maybe just create a document again with a list of those tenants, like what versions are running and maybe
Sure.
flag what the biggest problem is, right? And then we can brainstorm a little bit. Because I think like my approach to this is like what's the least amount of work we can do right now to keep those guys supported and for the next 6 months without you having to do some crazy workarounds. But what's the least amount of work, right? Because like I'm sort of assuming that we will have new system ready around in time for holidays. And maybe it's not going to be ready for migration, but that's where we can start talking about migrations at least, and we will have much better view into the timeline. But that, of course, doesn't help here and now if you have some problems that need to be solved within the
Well,
next
yeah,
couple
no,
of
I mean,
months.
I don't have anything that needs to be solved that isn't already. I have a plan for the Postgres upgrade, and so that'll work out. There's nothing that I'm, demanding change right now. I'm just not sure what we're
But either
doing,
way,
so.
it's good to discuss it because that conversation
Yeah.
needs to happen at some point. Sooner we start
Yeah,
it, maybe
agreed.
we won't, conclude, but we will get some ideas already. So let's do this. Guys, we're running out of time. Mallory, did you have something else? Because I just had a quick question. But I don't
No,
know
and
the
that was it. I just wanted to squeeze that in while we were talking to Ian. Go ahead.
Yeah, so guys, regarding so okay, so Ian's working on getting those tenants ready. I'll have Adam support him as much as possible, to get to the point where we have this Ansible integration configured and working. Jason, you reported a couple of issues, and I'm really glad that you started looking at this. So I created a ticket for Giannis to fix some of those problems that you mentioned, right? But I think it's really important that you start using the slash broker API via
Yeah, I
Okapi.
will. Yeah, that is possible. I will.
But try to do it also today, right? So we
I
know
will.
early. Yeah, and if something doesn't work, just report it right away, right? Because this time zone kind of delay means that we are
I
like you're
understand.
stuck for the whole day, then before he fixes
No,
it
I'm not
until
stuck.
Friday.
I can switch to running it locally through my insane proxy
Yeah,
thingy.
that's good. That's good. So I was actually glad that you were able to continue. But yeah, try it because we want to make sure that it's fixed. Also,
On
like that
that,
tick.
okay. I was thinking it might be interesting in case I get that far. Do we have a shared index set up for the V2 environment?
No,
Or
we
no?
don't.
Okay, just
And
curious.
we would need to use something. That's a good point. Shit. That's a good point. What do we do, Ian? I mean, we could get the reservoir deployed and inject some records, but it suddenly became bigger task for you. But that's a good point that Jason has. I mean, we can for now
I
we
mean,
can just use the mock, right? Because we have this mock shared index
oh, okay.
that we use on Trove Dev, right? This is the one that understands this return ISIL, blah blah blah. I mean that just generates holdings on the fly. So that's what Mallory and others use on Trove Dev to test because there's no shared index for Trove Dev. So maybe this is what we use for now.
Can we put a viewfind in
So
front of it?
no, this is just like a dummy SRU endpoint that takes the query
Got
and
it.
based on the
Yeah.
query generates some dummy holdings, right? So no.
But the reason I'm thinking about it is to have the UI, like UIRS, working with SI integration, so you can populate the create form from the shared index. But we'll set that up later. It's not a immediate concern. There's like 20,000 other things that also aren't there. So that just
But that's actually, Jason, I see what you're saying. But in a way, that could be even disconnected from the shared index that drives the broker, because like the broker cares about the holdings, and that UI integration cares about metadata to like populate the form. I mean,
Well, it also cares about the
they
identifier.
yeah, but you could hack it, right? You can populate the form, and then you can change that identifier to be this magic string that the broker understands. So I mean, that's possible. I mean, that's how we have it for Trove Dev, don't we? Like for So Ian, when you are going to be setting this up, and the broker, is that already, I mean, just check if it's configured like on Trove Dev, right? So it needs to use the mock for for the discovery, for the holdings adapter. And I think that we're gonna be good with this for now, and then we can consider doing something more serious. But if we do reservoir, then of course what we ingest into reservoir would need to be somehow aligned with the sample data and folio. It becomes sort of a
Yeah, I mean,
project.
we'd probably want to talk to Charles and see if he can just create a
Yeah.
bunch of inventory for us, and then we can load it into Reservoir and stuff like that. But yeah, maybe that's a
What
step
I would
two.
absolutely love, in as just like a dream of how we might be able to maintain this in the future, could be if we had a set of like Kubernetes configs where we could spin up an entire environment and some scripts to populate it with everything, and that we could run those not only for the dev system, but also locally with K3D and in CI, even with some end-to-end testing. I was just like at a stretch goal to eventually go towards.
The biggest challenge is right now is folio, to be honest. I mean, that's what I also hear from Adam, who, people just don't want to bother with this. Getting folio deployed locally is a nightmare. So, I mean,
Does
that's the
Koha,
biggest
no,
challenge.
but does Koha do ANSYS? It's lighter.
Well, but for local development, we have this Ansible mock. So I'm
Yeah.
like, do you really want to spend time on this? Like he's built
Yeah,
this
that's
Ansible
true.
mock.
Let's
So
use
I
it.
feel like, yeah,
So,
I
yeah.
think when you guys are finally kind of comfortable running the broker locally and those mocks locally, just use that, right? And then you will be able to run almost the entire system.
I think is we should work together with Ian to come up with configs that we can not only use to deploy it locally for development, but that we can also use as most of the details for deployment in CI, or sorry, in CI and dev. And then additionally, we can use it in CI for some end-to-end tests. Or maybe not in like regular CI, but in like end-to-end tests we can trigger the GitHub action.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I think it would be
And to
nice if
have
we
this
had
sort of
some.
data that kind of makes sense, like so we can have it populate three or four tenants and have them all kind of interlinked appropriately and everything kind of flowing back and forth. Have like a realistic environment where any part of the workflow you can simulate because it's all there. It's just there's so many moving
Yeah.
parts in the system is that we haven't really had that for now. So it's always been like, oh, there's an issue I need to look at. Okay, 90% of the time is going to be reproducing it locally so that I can get my hands on it. And then 10% is actually fixing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I maybe it's just some idea for brainstorming, right? I mean, is there anything you can
Yeah,
do?
we don't have to do that necessarily right now, but
Yeah,
like
yeah.
there's plenty to do with retooling the whole UI to work with an entirely different kind of API, but
Yeah.
just putting that out there as we start thinking about these
I
things that
also,
it
Jason,
would be
don't want
useful
this
as a
to
goal.
be, yeah, I just also don't want this to be an excuse for not building mocks and local tests, because I don't want us to end up in a situation where the only place or the only way we can test the system is by deploying the whole thing, the whole shebang. I mean, I just don't want us to be there. So, like, I'm not saying let's make it harder for developers to deploy. If there's an easy way to get Folio set up, great. Let's do the, or an easy way to get somebody like Charles to get to the point where it's easy to do it. Fine, let's do it. But it's not an excuse for not having ability to test in isolation, right? I mean, if we are coding this unzip client, I want tests to be part of the broker. So it needs to have that mock anyway. I don't want
Oh, yeah.
to be forced to run the whole folio to test that request item works like with Reshare.
No, of course.
That code must be tested, right? So that's also the okay, guys, let's leave it. I think for now, just for that Reshare 2 system, we can do this mock, and then we'll think a bit more about this. So, Jason, you're not stuck from what I'm hearing, and you will verify the endpoints work. There is this ticket that I created with those changes that you wanted. I assigned it to Yanis, but you could, in principle, also pick it up yourself. You know, maybe not for this one, or but going forwards, we can also create those tickets, and you can start making those fixes on the in the broker itself, right? Because it's like small things, but once we agree that it should be done like that, then I think we should go ahead and just start fixing it, right? But
Okay,
you
it
have
just
stuff to
that's
do
fine.
for now.
Yeah, you're at last right now. But that would be good actually, because I haven't worked with that code base at all, so it would be nice to actually familiarize myself a bit more with it. Like I poke around, but I don't really. It's not the same as doing something with it, so it would be nice to have even any small task with it. Except of course, whatever small task that is, it's going to take longer because half of it's going to be just finding my way around. But
Yeah,
that's
but
worth
in
doing.
some cases, you already look at the code and you know where to make a change, right? So, like, maybe
Yeah.
you just do it, open the pull
Like the
request.
timestamp, for example. I found where the timestamp was, so.
The timestamp, or you saw that he actually forgot this to do with the broker, right? I mean, he just did not add that code to register the handler with the broker
Oh,
prefix, right? At
Copilot.
least.
Copilot found that one in the
Yeah.
PR.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I totally ignored that comment from it because I felt like, okay, this is just
Copilot likes to make a lot of noise, so you would, oh, let's just merge it. Yeah.
So
The
smaller
one time
things
it was
like that,
right.
maybe you can, but yeah, bigger things, I think, yeah, then it's better if somebody else does it who's been actually working with this code. Because really, the goal is just get those UIs working against it, right? I mean, we want to end up in a situation where we have this system thinly integrated. So, I mean, that should be the main priority. And Kurt, is there anything we should discuss?
No, I mean,
Is there
I think, we had our discussion this morning, and I have a pretty good idea, where I want to go with it. So, I might message you and stuff if stuff comes up, but right now, I pretty much am good to go.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff you're working on is not critical, right? It's not blocking anything, but I think it's good to bring it to the completion. And there's also other stuff coming up, right? I mean, like, you will need to fix this Docker build local. I mean, it's okay for now to like disable that Git hook, but and we can have it improved. But the reason he's added that Git hook is that in the CI, when you open a pull request, it's just doing a build. It does not build containers on pull requests, because building containers takes a long time in the CI. That's just going to blow up all our GitHub minutes. And we don't publish containers from pull request branches anyway. We only publish from master. So building them in the CI is a bit wasteful, slow and wasteful. So that's why he did it like this. That's why we said, okay, we want to have some check that the Docker image is still valid, because unfortunately, when you're adding files or you're moving things around, it can happen that the Docker file gets broken, and you're not gonna know about this until you merge to the master branch. So it's a kind of a chicken and egg problem.
It was fun. It just surprised me when it happened. Like, I'm not used to having, just pushing a branch out cause like kick off this whole Docker build thing. But yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, but so it's okay that you disable it for now, but fix it, right? Because you need to have the ability to build that Docker image locally anyway. I don't know if you're missing some stuff. I'm
Yeah,
not
I'll
running
check
Gremlin.
into. I just have the default Ubuntu configuration with Docker, but I don't know. Maybe I just need to reinstall or something. So I'll take a look at that and see to
Yeah.
find out.
In the make file, there is the Docker target. So you can also just build it manually. And that's the same one as the this Git hook uses. So yeah, try to see what goes wrong, right? It's a just a regular Docker build, so it shouldn't be anything extraordinary. Okay, I think that's all I had. So I mean, guys, I think we talked about it already, right? But like we're really trying to get focused on getting to the point where we have like a end-to-end system ready.
To that end, Kurt, could you take a look at the directory on the dev environment for v2? So, like, I don't know why it's throwing that 401 and needed the permission stuff. So you might be able to shed some light on
Oh,
that.
yeah, I'll take a look and see if I can figure out what's going on there.
Make a
I think
ticket for it, Jason, if you can, please,
okay.
because
Yeah, sure.
it's nice. Yeah.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Just so Kurt has something like, to on the board. And yeah. So guys, let's push it so that we can get to the point where this is sort of working, and then we will discuss the next steps for the directory service, right? Because we are kind of we have sidelined it a little bit for now, just to get this done, but we will need to resume that work soon. Synchronize the directory schema, make those changes, and start working on it again, right? It's kind of two moving things that we need to do at the same time, but I think for now the important thing is just to get this sort of working and collect enough issues for both Adam and Yannis to do fixes, because I know that there's a bunch of problems. I mean, even simple things like this, missing path registration, right? I mean, things like that just show up when you do the integration test, and when you don't, like the unit tests don't help because they don't test all copy path. So stuff like that. Okay, are we good? Or any? Actually, do we have anything else?
I'll just send a message on the Reshare Dev channel, telling everyone that we're going to talk about like next steps for existing Reshare customers on Tuesday, just in case, like Adam or anybody want to pop onto that call.
Okay.
I don't have anything else. I don't know, Jason, Kurt, did we get to talk about everything you want to talk about? Okie dokie, thank
Mallory,
you. Yep.
just one quick comment regarding Trove. So, like the issue, the only issue I know about right now is the disclosure problem, right? That you've
Yeah.
encountered.
Yeah, and I was able to get a request to the new school today. So that's good. I'm doing one more test. I made Brisbane and Melbourne like close tomorrow, today and tomorrow, and I want to test to make sure there isn't some like when I encountered that with the new school, it was the day after they were closed, and I just want to make sure there isn't some like lag or something weird going on with the day
Yeah.
after a closure,
He's
so.
not fixed anything. He's not fixed anything. So I'm sure that there's a problem still. The only
Yeah.
thing Giannis did was he's added a test just to kind of confirm that it works in the locally and in the CI. So he's added like an explicit test that uses the Australian time zone. But he's not made any fixes to the code. And I saw that as well. I mean, it was closed on that 27, even though in the directory configuration at 26 was specified, right? So even on the day
Correct.
after it was closed. So So I'm sure that problem is there. Maybe we could try to trigger that problem again by just adding a closure. I don't know if it's possible or not, but if you could do it, like, I don't know if you need to modify the directory. But then we have some time zone issue there. He just wasn't able to reproduce it locally. Like in the test that he added, he is actually doing exactly what you're trying to provoke, which is he's got a day before and the day after, and he's got a day, like close your day, and he's testing with the date, the current date being set to before and after. That is essentially what he did. He's added a test for that case, right? Just to see whether this time zone complicate that does not throw things off. But there was no fix done.
And I guess, Sydney's in the Australia time zone, and the new school, I don't know what they're.
Australia
Oh,
as well.
we added a fake time zone. Well, I did add some closures to the closure tab, so once those take effect, I should be able to test again to see if there's like something going on with the day after.
And I remember when I was away, Ian mentioned something, right? There was some issues with the time zones, like some non-standard names were not working or something. I can't remember the details, but I really recall that there was some issues. I wonder if this time zone data, if there's like a time zone data problem still.
Yeah,
So
we. Go ahead.
the issue that we had was that the image in Go didn't recognize aliases to canonical time zones. So like there's really only like three or like however many five time zones in Australia, but there's a whole bunch of names, you know, for different cities that point to these. So it wasn't recognizing those. So we changed them to all canonical ones. So that's something to watch out for in any Go application.
I dropped a link to that issue that Ian and I worked on that you were talking about with the time zone aliases. But I don't know if it's what you're looking for, but yeah.
I mean,
I wonder
maybe
if that's
Ian, when
related
you.
to the way we deploy it in that container, because like we don't even have an OS, like we're just running the binary that Go puts everything into, and then we have to manually put in the time zone data. And so maybe that doesn't create the aliases somehow.
Yeah, I
Well,
mean, it's, yeah,
we
go
are
ahead.
running. I don't know what's the base image for the Go image, but I think it's probably some. I don't know. You'd have to check, but it does copy the time zone data from
It
the
just doesn't have all of the aliases, which isn't guaranteed anywhere. So, I mean,
I
they're on
mean,
their Mac,
maybe
but.
somebody can just ask LLM if that's sufficient or if there's something else that needs to be installed, like a package. I think it
Yeah,
depends
just
where
like
the.
literally paste in the Docker file and ask the LLM to be like, "Hey, why doesn't this have this alias? Should it be expected to in this
Exactly.
situation, or maybe
No, I
something
mean,
else?"
I've already done all that. It has, you know, time zones and user share zone info. It doesn't have all of the aliases. They're not expected to be there, but I could, you know, add a bunch of symlinks in there or copy them in there. But I could also just use canonical entries, and that's what I've decided to do. So there's, you know,
Got
we
it.
could make the image support that if we want to. That was the solution that I picked, you
Okay,
know, given the access to
that's
what I
fine.
have access to.
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, feel free next time to just, send a pull request to change that image, right? I mean, if there is a better way, just to harden it. Okay, but maybe this is unrelated. I don't know. I mean, I just know that the problem remains. Nothing was fixed. So you will find that issue with Mallory again. We will need to nail it down, right? But it may be unrelated. Maybe it's a logical problem. It's just hard to pin it down because he's done a test. Well, that test works both locally and in the CI. So it's very strange. Okay.
Yeah, I should be able to report back tomorrow on that.
Okay.
So I'll let you know, or I'll let Eunice know. But thank you for letting me know that nothing was actually changed. That's interesting. Thank
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
you.
Take care.
See ya.
All right, everyone.